WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Captain Optimism is here.
I'm going to get a costume, like a Captain America costume, and I'm going to replace an A with an O.
I feel like you should just get like a terrible like $2 cape that's like red.
And like a cheap little mask.
Sports Talk Saturday.
I just have to have a piece of paper with Optimism taped on my shirt.
On WGR.
Oh, no. Crazy Derek's coming. Stop. Wait. Listen to me.
Here I come to save the day.
If he can get, there he goes. We're all right.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. That's right. Captain Optimism back in the chair. Here to bring you some optimistic takes alongside Owen Parker. The first time we've ever hosted together, buddy. This is
fun. I know.
Fun.
I'm excited. No crazy Derek today.
Yeah, but, no crazy
not
Derek.
Not until later. Not
this
until
is
later.
Not Derek Kramer, not Joe Kelly. This is Sports Talk Saturday, though, on WGR. It is a Bills game day.
Indeed.
Last preseason game of the year. We have finally made it.
We have.
It's week zero.
It's finally almost over.
College football starts today. We got Premier League on the TV.
I know. It feels great, doesn't it?
Less than 2 weeks to the NFL season opener.
I'm starting to itch for it. I'm starting to go stir crazy.
And hey,
in here.
2 weeks from now, we got NHL training camp, right?
Oh.
That's what we're talking about. No, I'm just kidding. Not yet. Not
we
today.
Can.
We hey. Can. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what time. We'll
play it by ear.
Go with a broad stroke here. We're going to talk some Bills, talk some NFL preseason.
Yep. What we want to see from this game tonight, what we want to see from the team this season.
Despite it being the final preseason game, there will be storylines tonight. No Josh Allen. We know that. We heard
right.
in the update there, Sean McDermott says he will not be playing.
Good.
Some other guys likely not playing. Mostly offensive line, probably not. I mean, you know, it's the third preseason game. However, the big guy that's playing that everyone's looking forward tonight, at least we are anyway, Cole Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the storyline, in my opinion, for tonight's game is what does he do? How long does he play? And is he going to be one of the team's starting safeties week one?
Right. I think that really fired up after what we saw from him in that Bears preseason game where he really looked like he was struggling, like he was coming back off of missing most of camp.
Mm-hmm. Again, for the second year in a row.
Following that up from McDermott, kind of giving him a kick in the butt. Like, we're trying to figure out who's going to be our second safety. Rapp's in there. We know Rapp's there. Bishop, let's see what you got because you haven't proved it yet. You're not written in stone on that spot. So I think that's going to be a major storyline tonight. I think there's going to be things we're looking for on the offensive side of the ball in terms of some of the depth receivers. Will we see much from Keon? That kind of thing tonight. There's always storylines to follow in these games, despite how little they truly mean.
I think
will make it entertaining and interesting to watch tonight.
I think the main thing, as all three preseason games have been, is get out of it healthy because you have a big question mark looming over the secondary right now with Tre'Davious White. We still have no update on that yet, but you know, hopefully we'll maybe get something before the game, after the game. Depends on press conferences and things like that, but we might have to wait till Monday for that.
We didn't know about Hairston for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And it took a little some.
Thankfully, he tweeted something out. We knew he was okay.
Right, exactly.
But I think there's a lot tonight. But obviously, number one thing, get out of it healthy. That's why you want to see you want to see some of these guys play. You want to see Bishop. You want to see Coleman, and you want to see some of your defensive line rookies and things like that. But you don't want to necessarily jeopardize anything tonight.
Right. You definitely don't want to be risking anything, hence why the most important part of the team will not be seen tonight.
Again.
Anywhere near the field.
This is the first time, too. He's never not played in a preseason, Josh Allen. So that's, a milestone for him, I guess. Is that
he's earned his stripes as he's able to say, I'm good.
I mean, he's the reigning MVP.
Right.
I think he's
going to be all right. I've seen some buzz about they better not start off slow. I think even if they start off a little slow, he's going to be all right.
I mean,
I don't think we need to worry
about
him struggling.
You can honestly look at the opposite side of it with the Bengals, right?
Like
the Bengals have been playing Joe Burrow every game, and he's been taking some big, big hits.
Right. He's been put at risk, and that's, I don't think, a very smart decision to make.
No. You're going to see if it pays off. If the Bengals don't start off slow for once, then, hey, I mean, maybe that's what they need.
Right. I think it probably is also very personal in terms of how much you feel you need to prepare for the season And that changes based on who you are, how confident you are. I think Josh, and I would assume Burrow at this point, would feel confident enough to go, I can go step into a regular season game and go deal, mm-hmm. and I'll be fine.
Right.
But I think that the difference in those two situations is the Bengals have consistently put themselves in a hole to start the season, and the Bills have not had that problem.
Right.
And like maybe, you know, a couple years ago they lost that first game to Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but, well, you know, 2 minutes of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
But barely.
Yeah.
One drive.
They are never, it is never a storyline early in the season. They're not ready to mm-hmm. go. I think McDermott and that whole staff does a very good job of preparing these guys through camp. They run a good camp. They run a hard camp. And I think that that provides them the opportunity to say, we don't need to put our quarterback at risk like that. And right. good for them. Good and on
it,
them.
It is interesting, too, because we saw last night Patrick Mahomes played for the Chiefs
right.
for a couple drives. And he's Patrick Mahomes. You know, like, it, but it's, I guess it kind of all depends on where your team's going and where they're coming from. Like the Chiefs, we've been talking all offseason about how, you know, what's next for them? Are they going to be able to keep going with what they currently have? And is it going to start to falter a little bit here? The Bills, it's, you know, yes, you have question marks in the defense and some in the offense, but for the most part, it's you're just kind of trying to get your rookies involved
right.
at this point.
Right. You're trying to integrate. You've got new skills, new skill position players on the offense mm-hmm. in Elijah Moore and in more importantly Josh Palmer.
Yep.
And you've got guys that you're trying to build chemistry with in that offense with Josh Allen. And if you're able to accomplish that goal in joint practices like we talked about with the Bears where they got good reps that mattered, that Sean McDermott felt, okay, this was enough. We don't need to put Josh in against the Bears and whatever they did this week. He clearly feels Josh is as prepared as he needs to be. And that's our decision. We're going to keep him away from it. Why risk it? And good for them. But I think there is a side of it where I would like to see some of how does he look with Palmer in those situations? How does he look with maybe throwing a football to Elijah Moore for the first time on a TV screen? Like, I want to see that and see how that feels. And I think because there's a lot of questions about what this offense is going to focus on this year and look like, I think it can look fairly different than it did last year because of the new skills that they've added in Josh Palmer, in a guy like Elijah Moore, that could provide a different level of separation, of route running than a guy like Matt Collins was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to – I'm anxious to see what that looks like, but I don't think that that should override keeping Josh as safe as we possibly can.
Right. And so I think let's start there today, the offense. Yeah. If you got any thoughts on the offense, 803-0550. We are going to get to, you know, other things throughout the day here. But let's start here with – you know, the new guys on the offense. You got, like you just laid out, Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore. You're looking for something more from Keon Coleman in year two. Honestly, you're looking to see what Curtis Samuel can do for you in right. the offense. He hasn't
can he replicate been able to, what he had a little bit at the end of the year last right. year where he looked really you he looked good.
You haven't been able to see that much of him yet. And I think it's really interesting that he won't be playing today, right? Or is it right. He's not playing today, or he might be playing with very limited snaps?
I believe he's going to play – or no, he's not going to play because McDermott believes he looked good enough in all the practices.
Right.
We're going to let him – like, we're going to put him off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're good.
And you know what? With a guy that's had that many injuries, I'm not necessarily against that.
I have a hard time with it. I would like to see him do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not get hurt and perform. And look good.
Right.
Because if you're going to be on this team, you got to do something. And I don't know how much has he done to make this team this year other than sign the contract that he signed.
Right.
Nothing,
yeah,
really.
We were crunching the numbers here before we started. And looking at Curtis Samuel specifically, the Bills, if they did want to move off of Samuel, they'd have to find a trade partner.
Yeah. And you can't cut him.
You can't cut him because you're not saving basically any money. So
you're,
it's kind
you're
of
paying a guy not to play for you
right.
that if he's healthy, we saw could help you.
Right.
But, and so if you're going to get rid of that asset, that possibility of an asset, you've got to, you can't pay money to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a smart way to do business. Much like I think maybe signing him to that contract in the first place maybe wasn't the best idea because of his history and because of his – you can't spend all that money on those middling receivers like they are right now.
Right.
And because you run into this problem where you go, this guy's – we've seen flashes, but I'm not dying on the cross to get this guy on my squad.
Right.
He didn't do that much for me last year, but his contract number is such that you feel that you have a duty to make sure that he's not going to help you. And that, I think, is what you're concerned about. And you've got to – see what you've got. And I get it. You don't want him to go get hurt again before the season starts because then what do you – then you're really like, all right,
this what do guy we do can't, here? Right, right.
This isn't working out. Well, but you can't – you're probably not going to trade him at that point. I think that might be a part of this too is
– keeping him out in case there is out, something.
Like does somebody want to get in on the Curtis Samuel business? And can we – if he plays, could he, you know – hurt his toe again or something, and that's it, and then that idea is done, and then you don't get that guy off your roster because you're not going to cut him, and then you're stuck with him if he's hurt and he's on IR, and then what do you do?
Right. And we've seen this the past couple of years with the Bills off seasons. I mean, you went after Deontay Hardy, Trent Sherfield, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, you've been going after these middling guys hoping for success, hoping for these big boom plays. Everyone, so it's kind of like going after a player in fantasy football. You look at the boom bust sort of
percentages
and stuff like that, right. And that's kind of what you're looking at over the past few signings here in terms of those types of players. When you look at a guy Elijah Moore, it's same thing.
Yep,
we haven't seen him yet in terms of in a Bills uniform in a regular season game because they just signed him a few weeks ago. But he's the same kind of guy. He hasn't had much success in his career. Mostly because of where he's played. He's had Zach Wilson as quarterback. He's had probably Mike White as his quarterback
in New
York. I
believe Mike White was throwing him footballs
and
at
then
one point.
In Cleveland, you know, that's just a tire fire.
Right.
So, yes, there's
shopping in the bargain bin.
But at the same time, with a guy like Moore, the contract is a lot more
digestible. Palatable, 100%.
Right. You can kind of defend that. And same with Hardy and Sherfield and even MVS too from last year.
Right.
Those contracts are all serviceable and defendable because, yes, you're taking a chance on a guy, but you're not taking a huge chunk of change to take that chance.
Right.
Samuel, you did. You did.
You're paying him a lot of money. You're paying him $9 million this year.
Yeah.
And so...
And when you gave him that contract, it was, you know, what is this guy? Who is he going to be? Right? Like that's...
Yeah. He was supposed to be a burner, fast separator that could stretch the field out for you.
Well, he also had that gadget guy ability,
right,
too, that you
saw
in Carolina.
Good with the football. Like, he's an exciting player. I like the player a lot. But I don't want to pay him $9 million to be on the bench or on the IR. And right. You can't... On a team with Josh Allen, with where they are in his career, it is vital to hit on moves like that and not cost yourself years or opportunity for impact players with decisions that don't work out. And of course, there are always going to be those. You can't deny that. That's the way of the world. That's the way of this sports thing that we all love, is that that's the risk. You sign a guy, maybe he's not as good as you thought he was. And that's the fun of it. But you cannot be hoping all the time for something like that to work out. You've got to have solid ideas. And that is why I think I would have liked to see a lot of Samuel tonight. Let me see what he can do. Even if it's not Josh throwing him the ball, I want to see how he looks running down the field. I want to see how he looks with the ball in his hands.
Right. But there is also that big what if of like, well, you know, Josh Allen's not throwing the ball and he didn't do that much because the quarterbacks you had in aren't not necessarily capable, but they're not as good. So they're not being able to get him the ball that he needs.
Right.
Right. Like he is that type, like you were talking about, he's that burner, that separator. If he gets down the field, you know, out of Mike White's range, if you want to call it that, or out of Mitch Trubisky's range, that's not necessarily on him, but
right.
You can kind of take that on the flip side of this. You can take that, hey, he got down the field, he was open. If Josh was in, he might have hit him, or at least
we saw that with Moore,
yep.
Right? We saw that Moore broke open and Trubisky just didn't see him.
Yep.
And I think that he still gets a little bit of credit for that. I've heard a lot of people talk about that play. I'm like, okay, we haven't seen a lot from Moore, but there was that one play where he was breaking across the field. He was wide open. He had a touchdown.
And that's kind of where you peel back the layer of real stats compared to film.
Right.
And you look at – that's how you look at these guys in the preseason. But, again, that's how you look at the guys that are making that money, not guys like Curtis Samuel –
that are making
$9 million
real
a year.
Regular starter level money.
Right. And there is an out in Samuel's contract next offseason that brings a dead cap down to about 3.4.
Mm-hmm.
And he signed through 2027. So if you wanted to just hang on to him this year, if you can't find a trade partner, if you want to just hang on to him this year and eat it next offseason, fine.
Right.
But then you're going to have to try to use him this year and see what you can get.
Exactly. And I don't want to sound like I don't want Curtis Samuel on this football team. I like his skill set. I think he did a lot at the end of last year that was positive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to make sure that he can do that again.
Exactly.
And I like a lot of what they've done this season to bring in different skill sets that should open up some interesting concepts for Joe Brady. Not just in Curtis Samuel hopefully returning and being what he was at the end of the season last year, but Palmer's a different level of separator than Mac Hollins was. He can run routes that get him open.
Yeah.
And he can get down the field and really make you hurt. And you're hoping that Kincaid develops a little more chemistry with Allen, and Allen's not sailing balls over his head all year. And that all combined with another year of Joe Brady operating and being the OC, another year of experience under his belt, we believe he's probably going to be gone after this season. So he's a smart, brilliant offensive coordinator who's got not premier weapons all over, but you've got weapons all over.
And
you've got guys that have expectations all over. You've got Josh Palmer. You've got Keon Coleman. You've got Dalton Kincaid. And you've got all these depth pieces. Mm-hmm. And all of that, I think, leads me to be excited about what that offense could look like this year in terms of, is there a little more Keon getting the ball quick and letting him make guys miss? Because you've got Palmer on the other side to stretch the field a little bit and be a deep threat in that way. Or is it Keon's ability to now really make people miss? And then that opens up his classical sort of strength that we all talk about with the jump balls and that side of things. And can that become more consistent because people are worried about Keon making a crossing route and splitting the safeties right down the middle? There are opportunities here for these guys, if they develop into what this team wants them to be, to make this offense really exciting and for it to again score 30 points a game,
mm-hmm.
and for them to win a ton of football games this year. And I think Samuel needs to fit into that in a meaningful way if he's going to be paid the amount of money that he's being paid. So I would have just liked to have seen a little bit of Samuel tonight. It's always possible that it could happen, but I believe what we heard from Sean McDermott was he's looked good. We're going to hold him out. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Right.
We're comfortable with him. And
if they're that confident about it, fine. Then great.
Good. Then good. He must have been really good in practice.
Right. And that's where it leads to, the next part of this is where do all these other fringe guys fit into this? Like, where does Tyrell Shavers come in? Where does Elijah Moore come in? And how does everybody fit into this year's version of Everybody Eats? Because
right.
we've seen only two guys on this team. Only two guys have been involved, or three guys, sorry, Khalil Shakir as well. We haven't brought him up at all because, he's
a given.
He's a given, and he's also hurt.
Right, he's hurt. But to me, Shakir is over in a bucket where we know what we've got.
Right, exactly.
We know he's going to be good.
We
know he's going to catch 100 footballs this year and get you about 1,000 yards probably. Right? Hopefully.
Which is
great.
That's what he did last year.
It's awesome.
So, yeah.
But I don't – it's just less – there's less to figure out with mm-hmm. Shakir. I think Brady's so comfortable with him. Josh, I think, is so comfortable with him. They're all set.
He's your new Mr. Consistency.
Right.
Like he is
– Beasley was like that.
I think he's better than Beasley.
Of course. I agree.
But anything you threw at Cole Beasley, he'd catch.
Right. And he would get you a couple yards.
Yep.
And he was a safety blanket for Josh.
Samuel's just –
great.
Like, if Beasley goes 10 yards down the field, Shakir's at 15.
Right.
And that's just, like, the difference between the two of them. He just gives you
a little
more pop.
More explosivity to
right.
him.
Right. But then you look at Keon Coleman. Coleman was in this offense last year. He had his moments. He got hurt.
Right.
I think that injury was the biggest problem with his rookie season.
100%.
If he didn't get hurt, I think the end of the year looks better, and I think that what we saw at the end of the year is what you see in the four games he missed.
Yes.
Because he was starting to figure it out, starting to turn it on a little bit, and then, you know, Jordan Poyer hurts his arm.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, shout out. You know, he's disowned the Miami fan base, so he's cool again.
Yeah,
we're fine, Jordan.
Just a little bit.
I agree. I think Keon last year was on a trajectory. He was right there with, not to bring him up, but Worthy, in terms of production and what he was doing for the offense. And you heard him talk about it after the year. I forget what show it was, but he spoke about, I got hurt and I came back and they said, we don't need you right now.
Right.
Like, we're not going to force you the ball. We've been good without you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to get it, you got to show us that we should be giving it to you. We're not just going to force it to you because we drafted you wherever we drafted you or because you were doing well before. This game's about winning this football game right now. And if he was behind by whatever percentage where he was before the injury, they decided he's not going to be as central of a focal point for us. And so I've had a weird summer with Keon. I at the start of the summer, I thought, I don't know. I just don't. He doesn't have the – I don't think he's going to ever separate. And I still don't really think he's going to be a great separator. But I think he's shown a little more run after the catch ability in this training camp and this you know preseason time.
He's also gotten bigger.
He's gotten bigger, and he looks a little quicker. And he's another year older, and he's, you know, we're hearing him going back and forth with Josh now a little bit. Like, that was a bad throw. You got to hit me here. He's got his confidence a little bit. And that matters.
That is a funny thing to say to Josh Allen.
Of course, but it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Oh, right. No, for
and
sure.
It's good.
Yeah.
If you're a guy that's meant to be special for this offense.
And be the quote-unquote number one eventually.
Right. And if you think, all right, I'm going to have a relationship with this quarterback – part of that's going to be him kicking me in the butt, and I'm going to have to kick him in the butt when
right.
I need to.
Right.
Like, if I'm not doing what I need to do, he's got to be able to tell me, and now that's got to be a two-way street. And I think that's positive.
Exactly.
So I'm excited about him now, where I'm at now. I think he's got a little more in there if they use him right, which is another conversation. Like, it's too inconsistent to rely on him only throwing jump balls because it's just never a consistent production level, no matter who you are.
The one place I want to see that a lot of, though, this year is – and it's this is solely based off of just the touchdown he had against the Seahawks.
Right.
But actually, no. The Seahawks touchdown and the touchdown he had against the Jets, I want to see in the red zone jump balls. That's all I want to see from Keon because he – knew what he did wrong on that first pass to him against the Seahawks with Tariq Woolen. He didn't. He just needed the ball higher. He told Josh,
one more
rung up. And the next play, he did it, and boom, there it was.
Yeah.
The game against the Jets. Yes, it was a blowout game. Yes, it was the end of the season. But Allen is scrambling around, I think they were around the 20-yard line, and he just fires a ball off into the end zone, intended for Ty Johnson.
Right.
And Keon just comes up out of nowhere and gets it. And
right.
You know what? If that's what they need to do in the red zone.
If you hit on 30% of those
exactly.
and you throw one a game,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be in a pretty good spot.
Right. That's not the only place I want to see those this year, but that's where I think he comes in the most.
As a weapon.
As a weapon is the red zone because you have less space to work with. You don't have to worry about running routes as much.
And then his size and separation.
Exactly.
Like the separation becomes less of an issue. There's less space to separate in the first place. So let him work his strength.
Mm-hmm. And if that's how he works out for the Bills this year, that's great. I love it. That's kind of what you want him to do because you want to see those the touchdown numbers get up. You want to see the confidence get up from the consistency in that.
Yep.
And everything else hopefully will fall into place.
Agreed.
803-0550. We're going to get connected with our fans here. We got Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, a couple things. I think they might be keeping Samuel around for one main reason is, you know, if Shakir's a little shaky at the beginning of the year, do we run into another year where our wide receiver core only has one receiver that has caught passes from this quarterback again, and that would be Coleman. You know, it's there's a familiarity thing that keeps changing every year with us randomly picking up wide receivers and hoping they're working. Another thing, one more thing about Joe Brady. Part of receivers getting separation is individual skill, but also part of it is play design. I rarely see plays where we end up with a receiver running wide open that it's very easy, you know, for Josh Allen to hit them. I think that there's the potential that Dable and Joe Brady are going to make millions of dollars in their life because their quarterback was Josh Allen. And, you know, I wonder how many millions Tom Brady made OCs in his career. But I'm not convinced that he's this brilliant guy that says, you know, we're going to run the ball a lot, do short passes, not turn the ball over. Best offensive line in the league, best quarterback in the league. Does not make you a good OC.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. I appreciate it. As soon as you said the Tom Brady thing, I thought of Josh McDaniels.
Right.
Just because of how little he's had success away from that. A guy like Brady.
Right.
So there is a point to that, I think. But at the same time,
I don't think that in the NFL, the DCs are good too, and the corners are good too.
Right.
And it's really hard to scheme guys wide open. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen very often. If it happens, it's often a personnel mistake by a defensive back that makes a bad read or misses a guy and it's a blown coverage.
Or your wide receiver is that good at creating separation.
Right. Or you've got a guy like the Bills used to have in Diggs where he would just drop a guy in the open field, mm-hmm. and that was it. And so I think there is always room for how good is this OC versus how much is Josh Allen making them look good is always a conversation to be had because of how special Josh is. But I think what Brady accomplished last year with the tools that he had, I think sort of makes a little of that go away for him.
Right.
And then quickly on Samuel and Shakir, I think that there is a good chance that they are thinking of Samuel as Shakir's fill-in until Shakir comes back. And I think that is that's a good point, is that they're trying to keep him up and ready to go until they know Shakir's 100%.
803-0550, the number to call. We're going to take a quick time out here, continue this conversation when we get back, talk a little bit more about the guys that we hope can make the team and also add into this offense. 803-0550, this is Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR.
He has a lot of pride in who he is and what he does and how he does things and confidence in himself as a competitor and a football player. And those are all good things. But at the end of the day, the work has got to be put in, and he put in work this offseason, starting with the end of the season last year. So, you know, again, I tip my cap to him, because to say it is one thing, but to do it is another. And that's what separates a lot of people.
It is Bills head coach Sean McDermott there talking on Keon Coleman. We're talking some Bills offense here. We're on Sports Talk Saturday. Last segment, we're talking to Jerry about this. We got connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. So Keon Coleman, we talked about him a little bit last segment. He's had an interesting 12 months in the Bills organization.
Yes. Yes, he has.
He had a good bit of expectations coming into last season.
I would say so. Replacing
quite a bit.
Yeah, becoming the sort of new shiny toy.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't necessarily pop maybe as many expected right away. But again, as the season was going on, he was getting better. Then he gets hurt, and then he finishes the season on a high note.
Yeah, and I would say he had, before the injury, definitely a pretty average to above average rookie wide receiver year.
Mm-hmm.
He was making some plays, made some catches, not getting, you know, he's not catching 10 balls a game.
Right. I mean, took him till week 7 to get over 100 yards in one game. He got 125 right. yards against the Titans, no touchdowns, 125 yards on 4 catches on 7 targets. And that's 3 games before he gets hurt.
Right.
Then he gets hurt in the game against Miami, leaves early, doesn't play again until Detroit.
And when he does, he's, you know, the offense is humming, and there's no reason to sort of shift away from what was happening. So
yeah.
I I mentioned this last segment. I have come around on him and what he could do for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should score some touchdowns for them, and he should make a little more – he should force the Bills a little more often to get him the ball where he can make a play with it. Because he did that a lot in college. He was a punt returner, a kick returner in college. And he can run through guys because he's pretty big. He's pretty strong.
He got stronger this offseason.
He can run around guys.
All offseason, we heard how much he worked. He was just in the gym.
Right, as we heard from McDermott just now.
Mm-hmm.
He put in the work. And that's, I also think, something that likes that staff likes to reward.
Exactly.
And that's another part of this is maybe he's earning a little more trust from everybody involved, from Josh all the way to McDermott. And so I am ready for him to have a bigger year than I would have anticipated at the finish of last season. And so that's exciting. And then from there on down, there's interesting pieces to talk about here. Tyrell Shavers has looked great, like really good, again, mm-hmm. for like the third year in a row.
I remember, so I was at the Jets game last year at the end of the season, and Shavers scores that one touchdown where it's just all of a sudden, boom, there's this guy down the field and he's just going. And everyone's right. Like, who is this? This is great, you know? And that's like my first, impression of
right.
Tyrell Shavers is, wow, that guy's fast. That guy's great. You saw that in the game against the Giants in the preseason this year. He gets down the field. I think it was Trubisky just chucks up a ball, and he comes down with it on, like, the 2-yard line.
Right.
And if that's what he can give you, that's a guy for me to make this offense. But if it's between him and Elijah Moore, if they don't want to bring all these guys in, I would take Tyrell Shavers at this point.
Yeah.
I liked Moore when he came in, but Shavers, I think he's shown a lot this preseason and this training camp as well of why he deserves a spot on this roster.
Yeah, I see all that, and I don't disagree that he has done enough to earn his way onto this roster. But, and I'm thinking about Elijah Moore and him, basically, as competing here. And there's something about Moore. I know we all got very caught up in, he's a second round, but he's really high skill. He's got all these talents, and he just hasn't had a quarterback to throw him the football. And I still want to give that some room to breathe. And
mm-hmm.
he still hasn't been catching many passes from Josh Allen in any kind of game action. And I really am interested to see what a player with his skill set, his ability to separate, his just pedigree can do with Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give that – I want to see that play out a little more than just for one training camp and preseason set.
Yeah.
I would like to see them, even if Moore has struggled, or not even struggled, but just not popped the way many, I think, had hoped for him.
The hardest part, though, is you can't keep all these guys.
Right.
You can't keep every single receiver. Like, obviously, you're keeping, the starters are Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer.
Right.
After that, we've already talked about Samuel.
Yeah.
There's four. Are you keeping Shavers and Moore and LaVisca Chenault?
No.
Because Chenault, at this point, kind of has been you're trying to see what he does in the punt return game, but you haven't been able to force a punt in the preseason, so you can't right. see that.
Yeah, it's not going great.
But you know what he's done in the past. You know his abilities in that role. So you're potentially going to keep him there.
They're in a squeeze.
Right.
Because of the kind of receivers that they've acquired.
And not to mention guys like KJ Hamler, Christian Wilkinson, and Steven Gosnell, who have had their moments this preseason in
right.
this training camp. Maybe more so training camp for those guys, but still, they had their moments where it was, hey, Allen's having a great day with Wilkerson. Allen's
right.
having a great day with Gosnell and Ham. Like, there's a lot of guys here that it's, again, going back to the whole boomer bust of, yeah, this guy might have a lot for your offense, but
what is he doing?
Who does it most consistently?
Right.
Because that's kind of everyone past the big three of Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer. Those, everyone else is kind of, you got to figure out which one is going to be the one that pops the most and
right.
the most consistently. And in my eyes, from what we've seen, I think it goes Shavers more. Just from what we've seen so far.
I hear that. I've seen that from Shavers. I think Moore's got more to give. You know, no pun intended.
Right.
I think that there's more in there, that if he's able to break through his whatever has held him back, aside from the quarterback play that he's gotten,
mm-hmm.
if he's able to break through any of that, any percentage of that, there's very few situations in the NFL that will provide you a better opportunity than the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Because of the way this offense operates, because of Joe Brady's philosophy, and because of who's throwing the football.
Again, to look at his numbers, he played 2 years with the Jets, 2 years with the Browns, and he has a total of just over 2,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. His best season was with the Browns 2 years ago in 2023, 640 yards on 59 receptions for 2 touchdowns in 12 games started. 17
right.
games overall. So, again, your catching passes from that year would have been some group of
assorted Browns
P.J. Walker
characters.
Jacoby Brissett. Like,
yeah.
Pick any Browns quarterback from the past, you know, 3 years, and it's probably one of those guys throwing him the football. And
it's Flacco and all those guys.
Yeah.
And so... That's why that gets stuck in my head. And I don't know that that's appropriate or how much weight that really should carry.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy, Elijah Moore, is talented. And he has shown flashes of that. And I would really like to see a consistent effort to see if he can make a difference with the offense operating at capacity in a regular season game. Because I don't know how much he's going to be able to prove without the opportunity to have Josh play with him. And sure, Shavers has shown more in the same exact situation. But Shavers is a journeyman and a guy that has lived the Bills' way in many ways. And I would understand if they wanted to reward what Shavers has brought. In mm-hmm. terms of effort and energy and what he represents in the locker room. But I would expect Moore to have more of an impact in winning games, and to me that is what matters to this team.
Tyrell Shavers, 3 games last year for the Bills, his first 3 games in the NFL. He had 1 catch, the one I talked about against the Jets, 69 yards for a touchdown. So it's, you know,
right.
Very, very, very,
it's
very
small limited,
sample size.
Right. Very limited. He's been playing against preseason level players and in training camp.
He's been a practice squad guy.
Right.
That's what he's been so far. But him and Moore are the two guys that are on the fringe right now. And
so
a game like tonight could decide that.
Agreed. And that will be the two guys I think I'll be locked in on the most tonight in terms of can one of them really make a case for themselves?
803-0550, the number to call to get involved here. We're going to take another time out here. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Josh Schmidt. He's Owen Parker, and this is WGR. You know that music. You know what time of the week it is. It is the booty cheek of the week. And this week is none other than Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
But we've had a very, very strong negotiation. Now, by the way, frankly, it wouldn't have made any difference what the negotiation was. Guess who has to be comfortable for this to work?
Micah.
And who else?
You.
There's not room for a third. There's not room for a third. This will be a good one.
So, that's Jerry Jones there talking about the Micah Parsons situation. And honestly, we could make Jerry Jones the booty cheek of the week every single week because of how he's handled this Micah Parsons thing.
I can't even quantify how ridiculous he sounds. There's no room for an agent. The agent has to sign the contract. They have to. The agent needs to confirm that everything in the written contract that Jerry does not have from Micah is good. It's required in the CBA. And the GM of this team thinks he's like, nah, that guy doesn't need to be involved. We're good. We talked. It's over. Dude, you're going to drive out your best player by a lot, I think. CD is great, but Micah is a freak. And this guy is just at every turn trying to ruin his relationship with his best player and his organizational superstar.
It's not the 90s anymore. You can't just negotiate with the player and think, yeah, we're all good. It's fine. It's fine.
It's disrespectful.
Yes.
It's asinine. He sounds like he's lost his mind.
He probably has.
I don't want to get into like a big discussion about him as a man, but you've got to learn how to get a grip on what's happening. That is insane to say. At some point, the NFLPA is going to have to be like, dude, you have to talk to his agent.
Right. I mean, that's and not to mention, if this agent ever represents another one of his players, it's just
good luck, Jerry.
It's toast. You're already done. And the kicker for me too is his son Stephen Jones is also involved in
he's
this.
He's in on it,
and he's doing the same stuff. And it's like, dude, what are we doing?
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm over here screaming about GMs in my dad's chair, and here's Stephen Jones.
It's full circle right there,
echoing but his father's.
It is just. Demented. Incredibly, it's incredible how this sequence has gone, because you said he's the best player on their team. He's the best player in that position in the NFL.
Yeah. And he's incredible.
And it should be, hey man, what do you want to make? I will sign the check. That's all the conversation should have been.
I'll give your agent a plane. Yeah. Just sign a contract, right. Dude.
Yeah.
But all no, this- it's, we talked about it. It's good. You can't talk to me. I don't need to talk to you. I'm Jerry Jones.
Hey, don't forget, he's a businessman. He's done a lot of business. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Bad business, Jerry. Yeah. Bad business.
Yeah.
God.
Well, that's this week's Booty Cheek of the Week. Jerry Jones. Hopefully he keeps messing this up so that someone else in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills, can enjoy Micah Parsons' services, because that would be great.
Micah,
right?
Yeah, Micah's got to get he had Denzel go on First Take or whatever the other day. He's got to he's got to get somebody. Yeah, I don't know how you top that.
What's next? Is Samuel L. Jackson going to be on Monday Night Football?
I don't know. He's going to have Kanye do something or something.
Anyway, all right. So that's the Booty Cheek of the Week. Jerry Jones. We're going to talk more on defense as the show goes on here. Maybe if Micah Parsons could be a part of the Bills defense someday.
Ugh.
Or if they would, need something like that on that defensive line. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to get involved. This is WGR.